tersebut.
Good afternoon. Yes, I would like to apologize for Martin Vetterli and Yuelu for not being here, but they had problems coming here today. I'm Yuri Ranieri. I'm working on the same subject in APFL together with Martin Vetterli and also with Yuelu. And in this talk, we will present some results about a classical problem, spectral factorization. And we look at the problem, looking at the application and seeing that there is a sparse prior available. And we will analyze the problem of sparse spectral factorization. We will present some sufficient condition which allows us to know that the solution is unique. We will prove this, we will give a sketch of the proof, and we will present a reconstruction algorithm which works really well. So spectral factorization is a really well-known problem where we want to recover a signal x of n, not from a filtered version of it, but using the autocorrelation function, which is a convolution between the signal and its time reversed form. We can see the same problem in the Fourier domain, where we have here capital letters indicates Fourier transform, where we have the autocorrelation function, and therefore we have the squared absolute value of the autocorrelation function of the signal. If we can recover the phase information from this magnitude information, we can solve our problem. This is not really only a mathematical toy, and there are many applications in which this problem is really relevant. First of all, there is blind channel estimation. If we have a channel h of n, which is unknown, we would like to get the impulse response in order to improve the communication over the channel. And we can only submit data through the input xn and measure the output. If we submit white noise into the channel, using the filter formula, we know that the absolute the output is going to be the absolute value of the Fourier transform of the channel. Therefore, if we can recover the phase here, we can recover the impulse response of the channel, and the problem is solved. Another families of problems arise in optics, and in particular, we are interested in X-ray crystallography. If where we have an unknown molecule, and we want to understand the the shape, because the shape determines the function in biology most of the cases. Therefore, we stabilize the molecule, putting it into a crystal, a regular crystal, and we put the crystal in front of an X-ray beam. What we can measure is the diffraction pattern of the crystal, which by the Bragg's law, it's the Fourier transform of the crystal. But the problem here is that if we use photographic film or CCDs, we can only measure the intensity of the light, and therefore we lose the phase information in the Fourier domain, and if we can recover the phase, we can also recover the amplitudes and the original molecule. A classical result, which is really common, which is really well known, it's the spectral factorization, the root assignment. We have the autocorrelation function in the Z domain, and we try to find the roots in the Z domain using factorization. Then the problem is how to assign each couple of roots between the one inside and outside the unit circle to the signal x of Z. Here, since we assume the signal x of Z to be real, the roots appears in quadruple. If we are aware that our signal is a minimum phase, we can take just the roots inside of the unit circle, and we are sure that the reconstruction is going to be unique. It's going to be a good solution. Otherwise, if we don't have this prior about minimum phase, we have just to try all the possible combination between inside and outside roots in order to find our possible solution. Therefore, there is a combinatorial number of possible solutions, and there are no known algorithms to find the proper solution. What we can say is that since the two applications which we are interested have sparse prior, because channels usually can be modeled using multipath fading channels, which are sparse in the frequency domain, and also atoms in crystals are sparse because we have only just few atoms inside the crystal and it's not completely full. And therefore, we are interested to understand which impact has sparsity into the reconstruction, to the reconstruction of the solution of the spectral factorization problem. And moreover, if we can say something about the unicity, because without a minimum phase solution, the number of solutions is combinatorial, we want to avoid this situation. A small hint about why sparsity can be helpful can be given from this example, where we have a sparse signal made of, for example, you have 4 components out of 10, and we go to the Z domain and we invert a root with the respective root outside or inside the outer circle. We swap a root. What happens is that most likely, if you try to do it on MATLAB, you will see that the signal is not anymore sparse. Therefore, there is a strong correlation between the sparsity and the roots in that domain. There is also a negative result, which is really well known, where if we have two signal, which are uniformly sparse signal, therefore all the components are uniformly distant from each other, if the two downsampled sequence, CK and DK, have the same autocorrelation function, also the two signal XN and YN have the same autocorrelation function, and therefore we know that the solution is not unique anymore. In this paper, we present a theorem which states that up to two condition, sufficient condition, the reconstruction is unique. And when we refer to the term unique, clearly we talk about unique up to a sign change, a known shift, and a time reversal, because this information are completely hidden into the phase information. Therefore, when the phase is lost, we cannot recover anymore it. And these two conditions are the following one. The first one refers to the support of the autocorrelation function. Let's assume we have a signal Xn, which is discrete and real, as we said before. And it may happen that for unlikely combination of the amplitudes of the signal Xn, we lose a coefficient in the autocorrelation function, which for us, it's a loss of information. We want to avoid that. In order to describe this mathematically, we take the indicator function of the support of Xn, and we check the autocorrelation function and indicator function. If the two supports of the two autocorrelation functions are the same, the condition one is satisfied. In general, the support function of A of n is smaller or equal to this one. This condition is not really strong at all, because if you pick amplitudes to Xn, which are normally distributed, uniformly distributed, or distributed in a nice way, it holds usually with probability one. The second condition refers to a frame operator, which is used in the reconstruction, in the proof of the unicity, and it's built in this way, where we have a M by M DFT matrix, and we choose the columns in a particular way. We pick the support of the autocorrelation function S tilde, and we point the columns pointed by this support. From this support, we build this frame analysis operator, which is called A. The particular thing we ask to this frame is that we want every possible vector which is in the range of A must be uniquely determined from the absolute values. This work, this condition too, has been theoretically investigated by Balan, Casas, and Dedidin in a set of paper regarding frame magnitude, frame reconstruction for magnitude. And they propose also some algorithms which solve this problem, but it works only for some particular kind of matrices which are really structured. In this paper, we also propose an alternative algorithm which is general and works for every possible frame. So our main result is the following. Suppose that condition 1 and condition 2 are satisfied, then for every possible signal which is supported on the indicator function 1n, we can uniquely determine the signal Xn from the autocorrelation function. In the following few slides, I will give a small sketch of the proof of the theorem, because it allows us to define at the same time an algorithm of reconstruction. And we will go starting defining a new sequence GM, which is in the range of a frame operator A we defined before. And we recover GM from its absolute values, as we said, this is possible by condition 2. And then we solve a small rank one problem, which allows us to obtain partial information of the Fourier transform up to some phase ambiguities. And we solve these phase ambiguities by alignment. We take the inverse Fourier transform of the result, and the proof is going to be finished. So we have the input to our system is are the absolute values of the Fourier coefficient F of M. And we have only the magnitudes of this sequence. Initially, we define a new sequence GM, which is a multiplication of two Fourier coefficients. And clearly, we don't know this sequence because we don't know the terms. Well, we know the absolute values of the sequence. And we can also prove that these sequences are in the same support of the autocorrelation function, and by condition one also on the support of in the support S. Therefore, this vector is in the range of the frame analysis operator A, and by condition two, we also know that we can recover this vector, this sequence we just defined, up to the unknown phase C using condition two. Now with the obtained data, which is the squared absolute value of the Fourier transform, which is given at the beginning of the problem, and the new sequence GM with the phase factor C, we can build this matrix, one for every possible index M. If we factorize this matrix, we can obtain easily two vectors, which are the same, and therefore this matrix is rank one. And the two vectors are the eigenvector, are our solution we want to recover, Fm and Fm plus one up to a phase XC. Since SVD is the solution of SVD is given up to a phase ambiguity theta m, for every possible index m, we have this phase ambiguity. Therefore, we have an initial phase ambiguity Xc plus another phase ambiguity theta m for a possible index m. First, before obtaining the solution, we need to solve these ambiguities. In order to solve, we take any solution for any coefficient m, and we put the solution in a row, and we align them in this way. This is the solution for the first problem, this is the solution for the second problem. And you can see that in this case, for example, theta 1 xc is equal to theta 2. And therefore, we can define a new sequence in which this alignment is exploited. And the new sequence is fm tilde, where there is only one phase ambiguity. Taking the inverse Fourier transform of this sequence here allows us to recover xn up to the unknown shift as we defined in the beginning. Now, the remaining problem is that, yes, we know that we can recover from the frame operator A the sequence gm from the magnitude. The problem is that we don't know how. Here we propose an algorithm which solves the problem in a high-dimensional space. This high-dimensional space is a particular Hilbert space where the dot product is a trace of a multiplication of two matrices. And in order to see this, we start first from the definition of gm, which is a multiplication between the mth row of A and an unknown vector c. If you take the squared absolute value of this sequence, we obtain that this is a trace of two matrices, AM and C. AM is known because it's a frame operator we have built in the beginning, while C is our unknown. C and AM are two rank one matrices. And this, according to the previous definition of the Hilbert space, it's a set of linear equation. Therefore, we can attempt to solve this set of linear equation. But it's a bit problematic because it's undetermined. Therefore, what we can do is that we can exploit the fact that matrix C is a rank one matrix. So the algorithm we propose to solve this problem of recovering a sequence GM from its absolute values goes as follows. We first project the solution onto the linear affine space defined by this set of linear equation. And then we take the approximation of the C matrix, which is a rank one, using SVD in this case, but you can use any possible convex relaxation of the problem. You iterate these two procedures until convergence. And the problem here is that proving convergence for all the possible signals is not, we don't have a proof yet, because this step is highly non-convex. And therefore, we are not sure about the correct, we cannot prove convergence. But in practice, if the signal is sufficiently sparse, this the algorithm leads to the correct solution. At last, I would like to present a small example where we take a signal xn, which is a six sparse signal, which satisfies condition 1 and 2, and therefore has a unique solution. And we generate the input autocorrelation sequence, and we try to recover this signal from the autocorrelation sequence. This kind of algorithm works in this case and works in most of the cases when the sparsity is at most around 10% of the total length of the signal. So in this paper, we investigated the problem of spectral factorization from another point of view, where our prior is not the minimum phase, but it's a sparsity, which is a very good prior in our situation where we are interested in sparse channels or in crystals. The solution in general is not unique, but including this sparsity prior, we can identify, we can define a new theorem which and two sufficient condition for which we can prove the unicity of the solution. Along the proof of the unicity, we can also derive an algorithm which in practice works very well, and at the moment, we don't have any convergence proof, but we are working on it. Thanks a lot.
Questions? Plenty of time for questions.
Sorry. Well, it's very interesting. Spectral factorization meets sparsity. I guess a number of questions may be obvious. One is, what do you think is the problem? You're indicating that as you have a less and less sparse signal, that your algorithm isn't going to be able to handle that. So what's going on?
Basically, the autocorrelation function is not anymore sparse as an order of k squared. Therefore, it gets less sparse and less sparse. This is also trying to use other algorithms. When the autocorrelation function is almost full, you start to have problems because it's really hard to identify the different components. And it's really hard to define a good optimization algorithm because there is a combinatorial nature inside of the spectral factorization problem. Therefore, it's really hard to convexify it in a proper way.
Okay, another obvious issue is noise. There are some applications where you would have a clean autocorrelation function, but there are others where you wouldn't. Have you looked at what happens then?
No. At the moment, no. We're just looking at this. We have looked at a case where you have continuous signal. Because in X-ray crystal lithography, you have basically continuous signal and you measure in a discrete domain because you have the periodization of the crystal. And there you have also other problems as aliasing, and it gets really more complicated. At the moment, we are really working on this problem, but it's not so straightforward.
I mean, X-ray crystallography, I mean, that's a huge problem, a huge area. There's a lot of structural information that's traditionally used in that area. You probably need to bring that in.
No, but nobody really used the prior of the sparsity. They use different priors. And we believe that introducing the sparsity in this problem can... Yeah, maybe you can... We are studying also different algorithms which are present in crystallography, but for none of the algorithms there are, there are not many proofs of convergence of or good stability results. Usually they just check the working in practice, and therefore it's really hard to define when it works or not or on what they rely.
Okay, I'm guessing a lot of the structural constraints they use may have some sparsity interpretation, you know, because you know how certain kinds of macromolecules stick together.
But this is even for, we are looking more in particular to small molecule in the beginning.
Okay.
Because bigger molecules, you don't use standard crystallography, you use different techniques like anomalous scattering, you use more complicated techniques where you have more information.
Yes, okay.
While if you try to check for molecules in the order of 20, 50 atoms, you would like to use direct methods, which are at the moment based basically on projection in the Fourier domain, the spatial domain,
right,
put in the constraints, which are it's a kind of algorithm known in image extraction from magnitude phase information.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Much.
I think we have time maybe for one more question. I think we're catching up. Anybody?
So hi, could you elaborate a little bit on how you construct your analysis matrix? Because I didn't get how you. So you don't know the support of the signals, and
no,
then you
no,
seem to
support.
Have a very unique way of constructing matrix A. So okay.
This is the support of the autocorrelation function. S tilde is the support of S is the support of the autocorrelation function. And by condition one, it's also support of this autocorrelation of the indicator function. This one is known because we measure the autocorrelation function. Therefore, we pick all the columns given by this support S tilde, and we build this frame operator. This is why, also pointing to the previous question, why if the autocorrelation function is not sparse anymore, we don't have any more redundancy in the frame analysis operator, and therefore you can recover the partial Fourier information you miss.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.